It's Thursday evening, August 26th.
Lord, bless our time together.
Amen.
Your truth is a pearl that we want to buy. Sell everything to buy that pearl. So Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that you would make that pearl, that truth, something that is available to us, that we would take that, make it our own, make it what we are, do that good work by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's kind of a funny eulogy, or whatever you want to call it, you said, because, you know, a pearl starts out as a piece of sand, you know?
Yeah.
And God took dust of the earth and made man. Now you get a oyster making a pearl out of a piece of sand, doesn't it?
Sure enough. Yeah.
Neat how I got put in there, I thought.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I have thought of that, too. The origin of a pearl.
Oh, okay.
What it is.
All right. I'm done.
Pearls, anyways. For now.
Mm-hmm. At the end of that dream that I had, I saw a cloud move over a bunch of people. They were out in the field. And then I heard the trumpet, but as the cloud moved over the people and it lifted up in the air, they were all gone. So I was talking to Ken or Brittany and Curtis a little bit about it. And Brittany said there's a lot of verses in the scriptures. And there are tons of scriptures in there where God appeared in a cloud. And whether he was in that cloud or he had a cloud, I don't know. But anyway, I have something else I really wanted to get into tonight. You know how, I think it was a Philistine that got the Ark of the Covenant and every morning they'd wake up in Dagon or whatever their god was they worshipped, the image would be fallen and broken and whatever before the Ark. And they finally realized that they had to get rid of the Ark. And so, anyway, I don't think David was there right away. Was the Ark kept at somebody's house? Or
yes, I think it was
for a while.
Odom Edom or something.
Yeah.
Yes. And there was a blessing on that house.
Yeah.
Remember that. Didn't remember his name.
They said that whatever you do, there were two kind, they called them, cattle that were pulling the Ark. And they left their babies, their calves at home, and they were pulling this Ark, which is everything that's possible to work against what they were doing. That's what they did. They did it on purpose. And that shows that God was in this thing. And they kept moving it. And then nobody was to sit in it. And some guy reached up, and I don't remember who it was.
The man's name was Uzzah. But
Uzzah. Charlie's got a good memory for his name. But yeah. Anyway. He reached up to steady it, and he died. Which made me think of something. I mean, I've been thinking about it a couple of days, at least. But I have not been one to steady the Ark. But that's not common. That's not common. Don Burnett was famous for being an archdeacon. And Johnny Kenberg, I mean, a lot of people that I knew, kind of personally, they thought it was their business to study the ark. And when the Holy Spirit begins to move, you better be careful what you do with it. You better be careful. And one of the reasons that I have been noted as being successful, and not that you could call it that kind of thing success, is because I have a bit of a big hurry to decide what God should do, you know. And you know, I got my numbers of birthday cards again from people that think I'm some great minister, great whatever it is, and not really, but in their mind I am. And I thought, you know what? Most of the things that I am credited for were accidents. I just want to turn it sideways. I don't want to go sideways.
Looks like a job for an engineer.
Yeah. Somebody that's not sitting there. So, one of the reasons that we have seen things happen in the church that happened was because I was reluctant to step in and straighten out the obvious problems. And God took care of them on his own. And then I got credited for it. And, but anyway, there's a lesson in that. What God starts, God can finish. And we have to be careful that we don't try to step in and straighten out whatever it is. This is a church, that's kind of the church mentality. It's like God, he made pastors to straighten out the Holy Spirit.
It is funny how being praised as a great man is a slap in the face.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it is.
You've kind of given me an idea of what to say at your funeral, Keith.
Good. Yeah, that would be a good way to start.
If that is, if I outlive you.
I wasn't going to say anything.
You know, I've thought a lot of times I've kind of wanted to take credit for if I have a drive or whatever, and you know, you can't take credit for anything.
Nothing.
God made you. Mm-hmm. He put that in there.
Nothing.
You know, if you have that quality, it's because he put it there. You know,
I'm not even, you know, I've got those cards sitting there, and you know what? I'm not even really thrilled with them. I didn't do anything. And then how the Bible says, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. renewing of your mind, that's who you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As he speaks, you know what I mean, or how to say that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaks. And so, we are to be renewed out of the way we thought. You know, did you follow me? But that's not now. I mean, right now we think perfect.
Who's that?
Yeah, right. You're looking for that guy, huh?
By the sight be renewed, by the renewing of your mind, it means...
Charles thinks it's him.
Keep gun. It's me. You got a lot of renewing to do here yet.
Yeah. Yeah, quick work, you know.
Long way to go and a short time to get there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's good. That made me think through a bunch of little things here. It's like, so God wanted to do something in the church, so he had a man that he formed to be a certain way, but wouldn't have done any good if he didn't put the certain people there to respond to the man. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, because it wouldn't have did any good if there was nobody in the church. You know, yeah. Both each one needed the other one. You know.
Yeah. We certainly had some history with people who wanted that ark steadied, you know, and not get real impatient with having the ark do whatever the ark does. But
and David danced before the ark and sacrificed, had burnt offerings, and they only moved the ark just a little ways every day.
And then they have another.
And he danced and he took out his. Kingly, took off his kingly garments and went down to his whatever. And Michael or Michelle or whatever.
I think they call her Michael.
Saul's daughter despised him. And the king should be so foolish. And she was barren the rest of her life because of it.
Yeah, so, don't second guess God.
So here's David, who is a man after God's own heart. And he's out there with in front of the ark, and he's making an idiot of himself. Or was he? That's not the way God saw it.
It's not very king-like behavior, though.
No. I don't know many pastors that would do that. I'm not so sure that I would have been real willing to.
Yeah, well... Who knows what happens if the situation comes up, but not everybody's like David on that one. There's no question, you know.
No.
If you have the right heart and then God moves on you, you respond.
Yeah. And shame on you if there's some breaking system that keeps you from doing that.
Right. Then you probably don't have the real heart, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Go with that however you want, but that's kind of actually what says it for sure, you know, because he did respond correctly.
But I think David, someone rebuked him and he said, I will be more vile before the Lord, or something like that.
Yes. I think it was that same thing.
Yeah. I will be yet more vile before the Lord.
It might have been Michael saying that.
Well, was it? Or I thought she was up in some window looking down.
She had a conversation with him, though.
She did have a conversation.
She saw him, and then
she talked to him. Okay.
That's what I recall.
Uh-huh. And then he said, well, I'll be yet more vile.
Well, he basically rebuked her and said, there's no way this is a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah, but that scripture setting that you quoted before, it's got to be the hardest one.
With Uzza, you think?
Well, I won't do it proper, but it's, you know, you basically have to get yourself in a place where you're acceptable before the Lord and give them all, and that's your just payment. It's like,
oh yeah, that's a tough one.
Just the first step of getting yourself into an acceptable condition. Because
it's your reasonable service.
I fall so short of being acceptable to get to my reasonable service. I ponder that and then I kind of scurry away from it because I just recognize how far short I fall from that.
And yet, his burden is easy and his load is light, you know. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Yeah, it's, you know, both of those things, you have a hard time reconciling both of them, but they are nonetheless true, both of them.
Well, and maybe the anointing there is to recognize this is what you should be doing, and, you know, if you had the fullness of God, you probably would be able to walk this way. But you're not. And so you're going to use the other side of that, which is God's grace and mercy can cover all of your shortcomings if you're sincere.
That makes sense.
But you're right.
You know, without that scripture in the Bible about, well, that's just your reasonable service, we might have a tendency to say, hey, I got all sorts of pluses on the good side here. You know, I have been so obedient. So obedient, you know, and all that does is bring you to zero. Otherwise, you'd think, hey, I've racked up, you know, 70, 80, 90 points. I could coast, you know.
You'd be a good Matthew 7.
Right.
You could certainly
right?
be.
Right.
And he certainly makes sure there's enough examples about 8 hours or 1 hour. That's fine, doesn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an effort thing.
Yeah.
You know, didn't you agree with this? Isn't this a bargain you made? Yeah. So what are you complaining about? Has someone else got a better bargain? That's not up to you.
Yeah.
Ken made the comment that I just laughed because it's this another one of these things that I know is true, just how much do I want to give into it? You know, and it's like every time you think that there's some of you in anything, you've missed. I was really kind today. Well, no, you weren't. It was God in you that was kind. You were just lucky to be there. You know, it's like, you know, I really did a good deed. No. I remind myself, that's part of my keep me humble thing, is like, you're not doing anything. The minute you try and take something and claim it, in a way, you're taking glory away from God, and you don't really want, you know, someone says, so, how much glory do you plan on taking from God today? I don't plan on taking any. Well, what are you going to do today? If you don't go, well, I'm not going to do anything today. God will do a lot of things through me, maybe, if he chooses. So, it's just, especially with you, to turn it into like an accomplishment. You know, I finished painting my back of my house today. I feel really good. Well, you know, God had his hand in that, didn't he? allowed me to have the health and everything else to be able to do that? You know, why should, you know, and does God really care that my house is painted? I don't think so. So, it's a frivolous endeavor, you know. How is this good? So, you're right. I was really patient today. I don't know.
God gave him the patience.
And here's Peter, he's healing the sick and casting out demons. And Jesus says to him, he says, Peter, after you're converted, strengthen your brethren.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Just in case you're wondering where you were, not so far.
Jesus says, every one of you is going to forsake me. Everyone, and Peter, and all the rest of them said, no, not me. I'm not going to. But they all did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you think about that, these 12 walked with the Lord. Saw all the miracles, even the ones that weren't recorded or whatever, and just knew, you know. Yet they bolted, and then you think about like Daniel or even David.
Yeah, that's right.
Facing Goliath, where their life, as far as they could tell, was in deep peril. They didn't forsake him. So, I mean, you could argue that there are a lot better examples of faith than what those 12 apostles.
Nope. Yeah. Daniel especially.
Yeah.
David had his.
Man, he was something else.
Yeah.
Right.
And who was it? Daniel.
Daniel and the faith.
Incredible guy. Incredible man of God.
They got guys stoked with the fire, and the two guys closer to it get consumed, and they say, okay, now you can go in. Well, I don't know. The guys who are on the outside, they're no longer here, so, but I'm going to go in. Because I'm saying, God, you know, it's like, wow.
That one was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but yeah, it's the principle holds. And I love their what they had to say. Our God will save us, but if he doesn't, still not going to bow down to your thing, you know.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Thank you for mixing my Bible stories there.
But yeah.
But yeah. And here I sit trying to get to my reasonable service. I put my head in any lion's walls lately.
I remember my mother having a terrible time with the idea of Uzzah being struck dead because he steadied the ark, you know. It just did not line up with her sense of reasonableness, you know.
It doesn't line up with anybody's
right.
reason. It doesn't line up.
Yeah. Right.
Was there anything said before they started about not?
I don't remember anything. Possibly.
Yeah, you can't.
I have thought of it as being like it's like a live electrical wire. You know, you put your hand on it, you're going to get yourself electrocuted.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that or if there is real blame, you know, there was something seriously deficient about his mental, you know, his spiritual place or whatever.
It seems to me, it seemed like that they were told not to.
Well, possibly. I can't say that's not true. You know, that was my mother's reaction. But there are, it's so many times that I myself have found such light in that story. You know, you know, I have found it to be, you know, as you were saying, the pastors who have steadied the ark are making sure that whatever, the Spirit of the Lord didn't get out of hand or here or whatever, you know. My mother didn't get any of that, but, you know, but anyway.
We had things that possibly got out of hand. I mean, not in the dumb movie that we're in, I'm not talking about that, but, you know, just over the years. And but God corrected it.
Yeah. Well, I'll include the dumb movement. Maybe you won't, but I will.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, for me, it was an occasion for a learning a lesson there.
I tell you what it was for me. You probably only ever hear me say this once. But it was what I would never do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would never do this. But it did.
Well, I tell you, Keith, it's good to know that you would never do what, I mean, you would do what you would never do. That is a good thing to know about yourself. Maybe you're not too happy about it, but nonetheless.
I'm not.
No. Nonetheless, as far as your, with the Lord, you know, it's a little bit hard to make a case for your getting in on your virtue, whatever.
And that is exactly what it took. No, I'm not in on any of my merits.
Yeah.
Nothing good. No goodness. Paul says, the good I would I do, not the evil I would not that I do. Not me.
All right. Yeah. No, that's a bad one, but boy, it's a good one. You know what I mean? You know, of course, you're not the Lone Ranger. But God tests us. He tests us.
Yeah.
He's got a right to.
And then he gave me at least 15 years of buried bliss.
That is just a remarkable story.
I don't know that we ever had an argument in the last 15 years.
Why would he be so gloriously gracious?
Well, if you're both of one spirit with the Word,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we laughed and we cried. for the scriptures.
And you know, Keith, it may not have been a gift to you. It may have been a gift to Joanne for her steadiness or whatever you want, faithfulness. It could have been those years were a gift to Joanne for her faithfulness.
Yeah.
It doesn't really say.
Yeah, I'm in 1 Chronicles 13.
Oh, I'm in Samuel.
1 Chronicles 13.
Maybe it says it there.
Yeah.
Well, and when they came unto the threshing floor of Sidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day.
But did you read a little before that?
I did. And it didn't say.
Okay, yeah, it just starts. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab.
Right.
Which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio. The sons of Abinadab drove the new cart.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which is on the hill.
I guess it was Abinadab whose house it was.
Yes.
It was
kept at. Abinadab.
Not Odomedom. I don't know what. Odomedom something, but it's something else.
Well, actually, it's very the same story. What happened was because God smote Israel, David became fearful. And instead of taking it all the way to his home, he took it to carry it aside to the house of Obededom, the Gideonite.
So
you had
got that part, right?
Yeah, the first one was out of
where it came from, and then it was where his
wife was. Okay, good.
Your memory was pretty close there.
Here's an interesting concept before that. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. I just thought that when they got name capitalized, not the whole, just the end, but interesting.
Yeah, so it didn't say explicitly, do not do this.
No.
Which it's kind of the way God used to work in the Old Testament. You know, you should have known, you didn't, and I'm going to make an example of you.
And he had a little bit of an excuse because
the oxen had stumbled.
They stumbled, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he might have even had a good heart as he reached out to make the fatal move.
Yeah.
And God said, yeah, but nonetheless.
You know, I think about that.
I mean, the oxen are always stumbling, though, for crying out loud, you know?
Not necessarily.
Well.
They're pretty sure-footed most of the time, I think, but I don't know.
I think that the Lord is checking you when the ox does stumble. You know, I just see it as a test that us have failed.
Well, clearly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Lord is right no matter how we view it, but.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just wondering, whatever you do, don't touch the ark. And I don't think he got that kind of warning. He just said, oh, the ark is going to fall. You demonstrated a lack of faith.
Yeah.
And the punishment for that lack of faith is you're dying.
Smoke. I would have been dead that day, too, if I was him.
Well, yeah. I mean, but isn't it the way it tends to go? It's like, well, this seems like reasonable behavior.
Well, you sure don't want that ark getting all banged up and landing on the ground and busting and whatever, you know.
I just have a feeling, though, that yes, he struck him dead, but I don't feel that he condemned him to hell.
It's a normal reaction. If something's falling, you try and stop.
You know, he made an example of him.
Absolutely, that's true.
He made an example of him, but I don't know that he would have sent him to Hades, you know.
And I'm not, you know, maybe I missed mixing my memory of Scripture with characterizations of movies, but didn't they have very special poles of a certain type of wood?
I think they were hauled with, yes.
And
the priest would like
go for wood or something special, so yeah. You didn't have to even touch. So, I mean, there was an understanding there that, yeah, we don't even touch this thing. We just kind of, you know, it was like 10 foot away from each side of it. You couldn't swing and hit it, even by accident. So, him reaching up was kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, what you doing there, fella? Yeah. But, as Glenn said, though, it's the natural reaction is to catch something before it falls. And yeah.
All I'm trying to do is help the Lord, and then you go. And then when you put it like that, you go.
Sounds to me as though you're steadying the ark.
Yeah. Well, yes. Oh, yeah, I don't want the ark to fall. And the argument is, God wants that ark to fall. Who are you to say no, right? And
right.
Gets back to, like, you know, what am I doing inserting myself in God's plan?
So it's kind of interesting that God hasn't struck a whole bunch of people dead who have steadied the ark in modern day, you know?
Yeah.
How do you know he hasn't?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, the people you knew or I knew didn't, but
they may have ended up with Michael's, you know, condition.
Yeah.
You know, nothing fertile going on there, you know? Barrenness, just barren. Spiritual.
Yeah.
Barren.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not even going to dwell to go down that path, because who am I to judge?
Yeah, well.
It's between them and God.
It is between them and God.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not saying you were, but I'm like, who am I?
And I'm not going to decide for sure that what God has done, but, you know, you can go through the motions and act very close to what you act like if you are under the Spirit. If you've had to practice at this thing and all, you know. I'm fearful
I know
of that.
What you're saying.
I'm fearful of that.
Almost to the point where, you know, are you throwing fleeces out? Like, is this the Spirit? You don't want to stifle, like, I need a little bigger sign, Lord. Yeah. You really want this to happen for me, you're going to have to show me a little more of the juice. You know, I want to make sure if it's a quiet voice that I hear it.
Yeah, sure.
And
sure.
Who was it that had the fleece?
That was
Jason.
Huh?
Well, there was the golden fleece that Jason had, but you're thinking of, yeah, right. Jake, what's his name? His army, you know. You know.
He said, Lord, if you want me to do this, let the ground be moist and the fleece dry.
Right. It was, you know, the one whose army kept, Gideon. Gideon. Mm-hmm. It was Gideon.
Yeah.
Gideon kept putting out the fleece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, he said, Lord, let it be the other way.
Yeah, because, it was too easy to do this. Do it the other way. It's like, things, and then he does that. You know, he shows great patience.
Yeah.
One guy reaches out to the ark one time, boom, he's out.
Yeah.
Another guy could three nights in a row, and then do it the other way, and he, you know, it's like, he's hard to figure out this guy.
Yeah, right.
Which I think is exactly his plan.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then you have, who was it that was, Lord, if there's 30 that are
righteous, right, working their way down.
Would you save me?
Was it Abraham? Yeah. Abraham did that.
I was thinking Abraham, but I wasn't sure.
There in Gomorrah, right?
Yeah.
I think Moses did a bargaining down some, though, with those people. But no, the countdown thing was...
Well, those are the two
that Abraham.
I had a discussion somewhere where you actually see, it appears, if you don't peer too hard at it, that someone's like trying to barter with God.
Yeah, right. Get a little Moses, negotiation going on.
What is this? Wasn't Moses like? He was. The Lord was angry. The anger was kindled by the people of Israel, and he said, "I'm just going to take them all out." And Moses goes, "Well, no, if you do that, you're going to look like a weak God."
Right.
And God goes, "Oh, really? Well, I don't want to do that. What do you think I should do?" And the absurdity of that is, you know, and it's, you know, you read and you, oh, the Lord was testing Moses, but Moses was trying to negotiate. You know, don't spike, don't take them all out.
Yeah, right.
What would the well, other, what would the other people, what would the other gods say if this was what you did? You know?
Oh, I know. I get tickled by that stuff.
That one just really stood out like,
yeah.
He's trying to barter with God. And we forget, I mean, Moses had that relationship with God. I, you know, if there's a pillar, it's a pillar of fire at night that never goes anywhere for 40 years, and a cloud that kind of comes down, that's when you stop, you know, this is where we're camping for the night, lifts up, and leads you, and you go, what more, I mean, I always think, God, just please give me a sign that I don't miss. these people, I mean, got this, you know, tower of fire for 40, you know, providing heat. They never had to find firewood in the middle of the desert. They had heat. You laugh and you go, I don't get it. I go, man, how could those people have lost their faith? It's amazing. Yeah, palm around in the desert for 40 years, I think, would be pretty tough.
It would. You know, and we have a miracle just bang, immediately available to us, those of us that speak in tongues, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, the story I was just thinking about, that I always loved about Gideon, and I'm thinking, and it's about vigilance, which goes really hand in hand today with discernment. That, you know, remember how we're always saying, geez, I hope I have the discernment to know if it's the enemy or not, or if it's a false miracle or whatever. Well, he picked 300 because when all the army went to the river to drink, they held the spear and just cupped. They didn't bury their face in the water to drink because they were vigilant the whole time.
Right, right.
You know, I just thought that was the coolest way to
thin it down that way. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking about it, you know, like, that's a small number, and it is going to be a small number that is going to be able to discern in the last days. I mean, in comparison to the population of the world. You know?
Sure.
Yeah. It's going to be a remnant.
Yep. Always a remnant.
Yeah, and yet there's a promise in Revelation that when they looked at looked out over the one that were saved, and it was a number that no man could number.
Yeah. Which, if you said, well, I want to count how many people have been born and lived on the earth since Adam. I wouldn't want to try to count that. You know,
yeah.
So even though you can't number it, it's probably still a remnant.
Yeah.
Over all the the generations.
And I don't know. Does that story leave open the possibility that some of those folks were angels? I don't know. Anyway.
There's way too many references, though, of it's always the remnant, you know. I mean, through all the prophets, just about. That's always referred to. You know, God will have a remnant.
Mm-hmm. And narrows the way, few there be that find it.
Yeah. Now, maybe I suppose a person should go back and read each story in correlation with when it mentions remnant, because it might be just a special people which might be ones that were taken up. You know, it might not necessarily mean that's the only ones being saved. It just might mean, you know, God gave a special grace or mercy.
Maybe.
I don't know. I can't recall, you know, the stories when it's speaking of the remnant to see if it meant a... Well, it does. He does say I will have a special people, but that, I don't know if that's in relationship to a remnant.
Well, a remnant's a remnant. There's no way anything other than a remnant. You know? And that, it means a small group compared with the big...
Yeah,
that's what it means. You wouldn't call it a remnant if it were anything other than that.
Yeah, right. That part, yes.
And a remnant is, you know, it's what's left over after you made the...
Yeah, in a lot of cases, he purged.
Yeah, right. You know, if you're making a piece of a garment or whatever and you cut off, the remnant is what... There's not much good for that anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's dangerous to study the ark.
And we established that.
I think maybe you want to keep your distance from the ark so you don't succumb to temptation and do the natural thing Glenn was talking about.
Maybe that would be in the same category as trying to study the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
I think that's established.
Yep.
Because we have no physical arcs that we deal with, so in this day and age.
That's right.
Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah. I was thinking of them earlier, too. And I've been hearing that lately because that's the section of tapes I'm listening to or whatever in the truck, I think. And then I just listen closely, and it's like, just knelt down and quit breathing, you know.
I bet you they did a number on anybody else that was thinking about doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Luke says that it did scare everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, I have thought about that, though. Who did they think they were pulling a stunt like that? Holding back on, they think they're going to get away with it? Who did they think they were? Take, you know, getting credit for this glorious sacrifice, giving all, you know, giving it all. Well, they gave.
I suppose we did. If they gave 98%, they figured, gee, that's great. I should be able to keep a little profit. It's my land.
I guess that's what they were thinking, all right. But, I mean, you know, I'm with Ananias and Sapphira, you know. But, still, if I don't want to... Same. Here's everything, except for what I, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
That's why I don't ever want to say that.
No, that's right. No. They probably would have been fine. Peter, here is 75% of what we got for the sale.
But you know you want to get to the place where you say that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I don't want to get to the place where I say, here it is, 100%. You know, and it isn't. That's the point I don't want to get at.
Yeah.
Knowing full well that it's not.
Right.
Yeah. And as the Old Testament does, the penalty for deception can be severe. You know, now we go, oh, the penalty for this could be eternal damnation. So, you know, you're going to throw away, you know, life everlasting on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is.
Peer pressure. It's tough.
Yeah, right. They want to pay.
They want to live. There was a
lot of, what do you call it? Make them,
pumping thyself up for a friend.
Well, yeah, all sorts of credit for going for, oh, look what they did. Oh, my.
Yeah.
It's a lot of wampum.
Wampum, yeah.
Spiritual wampum going on there.
Historians are going to look back and say, this is when the Bible study turned, is when they started talking about wampum.
Yeah, I think we're through.
Tease your brother Charlie. Anybody
well, I'm not taking it back.
Oh, no. That's a good God's work.
Love you all.